The most famous English king, for all the wrong reasons, may well be Henry VIII. You remember the six wives, the Church of England, sired Elizabeth I but wanted a son? Yeah, that Henry. Well, without Thomas Cromwell, he couldn't have gotten away with any of it. That's the story Hilary Mantel tells in her book Wolf Hall, which recently won the Man Booker Prize. Mantel takes the chaotic history of Tudor England and transforms it into a whip-smart and finely wrought novel that might even make a stay in the Tower of London bearable. When Anne Strangechamps talked with Hilary Mantel, she wondered why it mattered so much that Henry wanted to establish his own church.
England broke away from Rome, and it was a time when Henry divorced his first wife, Catherine of Aragon, married his second wife, Anne Boleyn, executed her, married his third wife, Jane Seymour, was widowed, married his fourth wife, Anne of Cleves, divorced her, and married his fifth wife, Catherine Howard. Thomas Cromwell was at the centre of all these events. In effect, he was the man who said who Henry could marry and who he couldn't. But he also had an extraordinary vision of how England could change, what England could be like.
In a sense, Cromwell was, well, you could call him the king's fixer.
Yes.
He was the guy who made happen what Henry sort of wanted to happen, but perhaps you get the sense that the king himself didn't fully comprehend the magnitude of the changes that he would bring about. Really, all he wanted was a son, and he wanted to marry Anne Boleyn. But it was Cromwell who had a vision of how this might transform English society.
Yes, indeed, because Henry VIII, although he was prepared to break with Rome and the power of the Pope, doctrinally speaking, he was a Catholic. He was not drawn to Protestantism at all. He hated Martin Luther, and yet he was getting into bed, so to speak, with men who were Protestants, one of whom, I think, was Cromwell himself, though he had to keep his true beliefs well concealed. So, as Henry's advisor, you were always walking a tightrope. And he was in this strange position of wanting to make an England that was Catholic without the Pope. And of course, the other thing that Cromwell did was to build up the power of Parliament, to emphasise what the power of Parliament was, because it was a law, of England that made Henry supreme in the church. So in effect, Henry was getting his power through Parliament, which was a big thing for a king to face in those days.
Mm-hmm. So the split from the Church of Rome solved a very practical problem for Henry VIII. It also, however, had enormous impact on, or would have, on the average common man in England. Cromwell, as you portray him, was one of the new men who believed in worshiping in his own tongue. You know, we forget that at that time in England, worshipping, reading the Bible in English was a crime punishable by death.
Well, Henry was moving slowly, slowly, slowly towards the idea of a translation of the Bible. But no one could agree on which translation it should be. And the break with Rome speeded up the whole thing. And it was Thomas Cromwell who eventually, towards the end of the 1530s, put the first English Bible in every parish church. He got the king finally to agree to it, and he himself paid the printers. The edition was printed in Paris and brought over and distributed. And of course, it had enormous consequences for the English language, but also for freedom of thought, because then anyone could go into the church and, as it were, receive the word of God direct, not through their priest, not in Latin, but directly. A few years after Cromwell, people began to wonder, well, wasn't it all a bit dangerous, this freedom of thought? And maybe they shouldn't let women read the Bible. And maybe only gentlemen should be allowed to read it, not the common people. But that hadn't been the idea in Cromwell's time. So it was a great freeing up of language and of thought.
You know, as you portray him, Cromwell comes off as a man with a brilliant legal mind, and more than that, a profoundly humanistic outlook on life. How is it then that he has gone down in the history books as the villain of the piece?
I think the problem with Cromwell is that his public life is extremely well documented, but his private life is almost entirely off the record. He is hard to know as a man. Nobody quite knows where he's been, or who he knows, or what he knows. And I have a theory, I can't prove it, but it seems likely to me, that Cromwell was quite willing to leave people in the dark. He certainly had a great hold over people. People were scared of him, and I think part of his power may have reposed in that part of his life that was unknown, and that side of his life that was off the record. You couldn't quite fit him together, and he didn't help you. So what you did was project onto him your fears, and he simply held up the mirror to you. He didn't explain, he didn't excuse, he just got on with his job.
Hilary Mantel is the author of Wolf Hall, winner of the Man Booker Prize. She spoke with Anne Strangechamps.